conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes, so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andyscrolls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andyscrolls. Sign up today.
I always wear a mask for my face, but never my personality.
Ooh, I may have tested negative for COVID, but I'm positive I could fuck you up.
Okay, now that is what I call Hollywood writing. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode 168, and I am so excited to welcome back a friend of AG and yours truly back on the people's couch. She is the creator and writer of Keeping Up with the Continuity Errors, which you know I'm extremely obsessed with, a Hollywood writer, most recently of Outmatched on Fox, a little bit of sitcom sass in the hizzy, which I'm extremely into, and of course, one of the hosts of the all-new Smith Sisters Live, which premiered this week on Radio Andy, the world premiere of my new favorite show. It is none other than motherfucking Mariah Smith. Mariah,
hello.
How are you?
It's so good to be back.
Oh my God, it's so good to have you. So I have to say, we were thinking about recording again back at, I want to say, like, the beginning-ish of Corona, it was early days, and what wonderful days those were. And yeah. So I'm so excited to have you back. First off, you're recording in LA.
Yes, I am. Here we are in sunny California.
How is that going? How is Los Angeles?
It's great. It's been gloomy the past couple of days, which I sort of love a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's great here. No complaints. How's New York?
I don't entirely know. I think it's good. I can't go outside when it's super hot out because I have a neuro thing.
Yeah.
So I have literally been in my apartment for 2 months because
I don't blame you.
Right? It's like I would be in a normal world pre-corona. I would be taking like shared cars everywhere because I can't go on the subway because thanks to Blasio, it was always, always late. And there's obviously no AC. So it was like 100,000 degrees in the train station. So I would still be like living a good life, but I would have restrictions on myself in everyday whatever. Yeah. So for people who have chronic yada, yada, it's very tricky to like keep mental health stuff on an even keel because we're literally stuck inside with like not a lot going on. And in a normal world, that would kind of be okay, except that when you walk outside, you know, like there might be a little bit of a danger to like neuro stuff, but you just go back inside, drink water, chill, whatever, and then go back out.
Yeah.
But with the entire world on fire, it's like there's just so many additional dangers. It's rough, tough stuff. It's really, it's difficult. But I've heard from a lot of AGs who are in similar positions too. Good. And the one thing that I keep telling myself is, like, you're staying inside, first off, because of the heat, whatever, but you're also staying inside to stay safe.
Exactly. So to stay, like, safe, yeah, and to protect others, because you never know.
And to protect
know.
Others, which is, so like, a low, like, number two for part. Me.
It's, yeah.
No, but it's 100%. Of course, it's absolutely. Yeah. And I feel like that's the piece that our country is missing. In
that's the
part.
Key piece that, yeah, people are missing. And that's the key piece to the puzzle that's going to keep us inside for way longer.
Yeah. And I also just kind of thought, like, okay, we were talking about, like, a first wave, then a likely second wave. We're still in, yeah, the first wave. And I don't, it's like, it seems like it's getting worse for large parts, right, of the country. At least in New York, we fucked up and then, like, sort of got our shit together. So I think we have a better understanding of, like, what changes need to be made for the next round. But
yeah,
it's wild that we're, like, as a nation, we're just making,
we're not
it
getting
worse
there.
For ourselves. We're not, and I don't know what will.
It's going to take, and as I've said this, and I probably shouldn't say this so publicly, but I feel like it's going to take a big celebrity death due to COVID to get us whipped into shape.
Do you think it's going to take, yeah, I mean, I guess that would be more universal for people than just having conversations with people who are, like, so blind, willingly blind to this,
right,
and then waiting for them or a family member to get affected,
right,
and essentially,
right,
infected. Like,
right,
you watch these people with huge platforms who talk a lot of shit and about how stupid and fake and whatever this is, and then all of a sudden, you know, something happens to them or their family member, and they're like, oh, just kidding, stay safe, you know,
yeah,
you know, don't put yourself in the position that I did. And then it's like, okay, did anybody just notice this huge left turn that this person made? Are we all pretending that,
so,
like, we just
up.
Don't care? It's wild.
It's so messed up.
It's Looney Tunes. And it's interesting. I mean, I've had a weird day because friend of the show, Dylan Hafer, sent me a screenshot of stuff that Lydia McLaughlin was saying on Instagram.
What'd she say?
She's like the human face of being problematic. But she put up a couple posts that are like, guys, you know, I just think it's really important in this time that we all just understand, like, don't trust the mainstream media. Like, go with your gut. Like, our country was founded.
Oh my
freedom.
God, let me look this up.
Yeah, it's wild. I would look it up as well, but I've since blocked her because I commented on it and was like, sweetie pie, like, no. I mean, first off, Dylan actually commented and said, like, what are your thoughts on vaccines, which I thought was the funniest thing that you could ever say.
Whoa.
And yeah, and I commented on, I think, the most recent post and said, essentially, freedom of thought isn't the issue during a pandemic. Wearing a mask is, unless you're okay with killing a lot of people because of your own bullshit. Why not use your platform to encourage whatever, blah, blah, blah. And Lydia said in response to me, oh, look, it's like another troll, someone looking to start an argument. And I said, I'm not trolling. I'm actually nervous that people are going to die because of the,
yep,
argument being framed as freedom of expression versus those of us who are immunocompromised and scared. Do you know anyone that's died because of corona? I do. And I'm really scared of being added to that list. Where in the Bible does it say that killing other people makes America great? Just like a little,
what,
fun combo. Yeah, and why are you being so argumentative and disrespectful when folks who only know you from Housewives are asking why you're using your following to make fun of people who are sick? And then it just kind of went downhill from there, because several of her followers said, you know, like, the Bible says to, like, take a chill pill, so why aren't you?
Yeah.
Which, I don't know. I'm a Jew. We were raised differently. We were raised to really,
oh, my God.
Be sassy and whatever.
That
yeah,
makes me livid. My blood is boiling. I just took a look at the post. And it's so,
yeah,
like,
mm-hmm,
it's trying to be, like, I'm an open-minded person, and I want my open-mindedness to, you know, infiltrate the world. But it's such BS.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, the world soothsayer Gretchen Rossi commented and was like, yes, of course, why people need to stay woke, which she spelled walk, W-O-K, because she's a genius. It's just, I posted like some of my responses and then I actually did have to block her because I was getting so angry at the number of people who are responding to my comment and other people's comments with like, shut the fuck up, you stupid troll, get off the page, whatever. And then you go to their Instagram bios and it's all like, I love Jesus, puppies, of course, American of flags. And it's just, my thing is like, if you don't want to follow protocol, then do that and kill other people or yourself. Cool. Yeah. But why are you using your platform of I don't know how many followers she has. I'm going to guess hundreds of thousands of people. I forgot to look. Why are you using that to tell people to behave in the manner that you're doing? And P.S., like in my last comment, I think it was like something along the lines of like, Shannon Bedore just announced that she and her daughters
got sick. And Shannon's been all rip running around town, pretending she's been following protocol, maskless, mask downs, close shoulder to shoulder selfies.
Yeah. And so my response to Lydia was like, do you care about Shannon or her kids? Of which, unfortunately, I didn't get a response by the time it's like a two-parter. One is, there is this idea that a lot of people have of like, I'm staying safe, I'm quarantining because I'm going out to dinner with my friends who are also quarantining. And then we're going to hug each other. And we're going to like spoon or whatever. And I'm quarantining with them. And then I'm going to go socially distance by going into somebody else's house and social. There was somebody that did like a meme video situation of it, which was fantastic, which if you haven't seen on Instagram, I wish I could credit them. I forget who they were, but it's amazing. And it's like, and then I'm going to go quarantine and socially distance by going into someone else's house and like having dinner and sharing a drink with them and like using the same glass. And then after that, I'm going to go to social distance by like eating inside at a restaurant. And people just use this phrase because they think if I'm being social and I'm not being as social as I normally would be,
then they're doing their part. Yeah.
And they're not. And it's just
completely, they're making this harder for the rest of us. And making it last longer than it should. Like, we could be the Netherlands and have this eradicated within months if people just stayed at home. Stay at home. That's what it means. Stay at your house. Not someone else's house. Your house.
And don't, like, hang out with folks. It's just so...
Right.
It's honestly so crazy to me how few people get this or the number of people who get it but grant themselves an exception. Like, Shannon Bedore, love of my life, we're in a really tricky relationship right now because I've talked shit about her for how long? Because she wore a mask that said 6 feet while posing, like, with her
people
arms around with her cast members while they're filming a show regardless of whether there's
a crew
or whatever.
That made my blood boil.
Right, and she's having these, like, social distance, in quotes, you know, kikis with people because she has people over to her house or she would go over to someone else's house. And, you know, it's people take this whole 6 foot thing as like an excuse.
Yeah.
First off, you're not 6 feet away from the person that you're with. And P.S., you're putting yourselves and other people in really dangerous positions. Then we find out this week that Shannon tested positive.
And those kids.
And those kids. And P.S., OC had picked up filming. They were shooting again. So how many people had Shannon come into contact with, had her kids come into contact with, the crew come into contact with? Then they're filming a trip. They went on some sort of trip.
What?
I don't know how long it lasted. Shannon didn't go and Emily didn't go. And, you know, there was some blog, I think I referenced on the last episode, and again, apologies about credits. I want to say it's iRealHousewives.com that said that they didn't go because they tested positive, and this is essentially what happened. It's just, it makes me, I have several questions. I feel like, you know, I heard from several AGs after I posted that story a couple minutes ago before we started recording, and a lot of people, you know, were just as angry, just as upset. And they're like, listen, she's gaslighting you and anyone else that's commenting, like, don't participate in it.
Oh, God.
And I think it's like a strange path to navigate of like, do I call this person out because what they're doing is
so... Because you
want to
stand your ground and make sure that you want to have a teachable moment with them and not be gaslit.
Right. And they are not interested in participating in that. So, like, why am I wasting my time? It's just really...
Jesus.
It's really frustrating. And the show of it all is, like, I just really think they need to throw this season of Orange County that they were recording in the trash and light it on fire and start fresh when things are safe. Like,
yeah.
You started recording pre-corona. Corona happened. Kelly said a lot of very, very dangerous, disingenuous things. I'm sure there was some sort of discussion about whether or not she should get fired for that or what she said about Black Lives Matter. She was not fired or let go. She continued filming. Filming continued Black Lives Matter as the largest case of civil unrest our generation has ever experienced.
Yeah.
It began years ago, but like in this way, in this climate, began and is, of course, ongoing. Kelly, for whatever reason, still has a job. And then the show continued to film again. So it's like, if you're up against Corona, a deeply problematic cast member who, for whatever reason, you haven't fired, and everything else, and you now have cast members who are testing positive, and who knows what kind
shut
of
it down.
They put in.
Shut it down.
Throw it away. I don't want to watch this. I don't want to watch next season of Orange County knowing what Shannon was doing on Instagram stories, what Kelly does on IG and in real life, and everything else. Nobody on that show is not problematic in a way that I know will trigger me if I, God forbid, watched a single second of it. It's just wild. Right? Isn't that crazy?
That it's rough stuff.
It's rough stuff. And so what has your experience been like watching these shows right now in the time that we're currently in?
That's a good question. It definitely is sort of, and I've never really experienced this feeling, is an escape from my own reality and the realities of the actual world that's happening. And it's easier to watch now because these things were filmed pre-corona, pre the resurgence of Black Lives Matter protests that are actively happening daily and across the globe. It feels more like I'm watching something from another time that has no effect on what's happening now. That is what it feels like watching these shows now, even though I know that some of the players are problematic in their own way. But I prefer to watch like a Potomac, a Beverly Hills, a New York, and Atlanta, where I feel that the politics are more skewed in my favor. So it feels a little less cringy to be a part of.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I also feel like there's too much going on in real life, the Lydia McLaughlin of it all, that I don't think I can watch those people on TV right now. Like there are certain casts that are just so harmful for my own mental health that I just don't see watching that show being the same experience as it would have been a year ago,
which is
maybe a good thing. Like I'm being reintroduced I'm being reintroduced to who these people really are. And I maybe need to have a reckoning of my own of like, is this going to be escapist for me? Is there any chance of some of this stuff being entertaining, or is it just going to be alienating or frustrating?
Right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, I feel like so many of us were so sad and upset when Potomac got pushed back because we just needed it.
Oh, that was a heartbreak.
It was a heartbreak. We needed it. We yearned for it. We deserve it as a nation, as a people.
Yeah.
And then it got pushed back. And now I'm thinking about it, and maybe it's because the premiere is right around the corner, but I'm so appreciative that for a span of time, Potomac is going to be the only Housewives franchise with new content on TV.
I think that because it would have it. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, and it's going to be such a sweet reward and sweet relief that I cannot wait to be able to sit with it in the fall and not have it, sort of overshadowed in the summer by some of the larger franchises, because Potomac deserves its own shine.
Right. And I feel like there is a way to hold people up without pushing other people down. And it's like, I've given so much attention to Kelly and Orange County, and I'm just so excited to sort of put that aside and just really focus on celebrating the best, single best Housewives franchise on TV.
It's so good.
It is so good. I heard from someone earlier today who was like, I just want to say I'm so sorry. I just started watching it from the beginning. It's so incredible. And I said, like, you don't need to apologize. You're watching it now. Just enjoy the experience. And guys, if you're not watching Potomac, like, you truly no longer have an excuse. Whatever barrier, shall we say, that was blocking
you. That had you, put it down.
What could it be?
Put it down.
Put it down. Put, like, knock down that wall.
Yeah.
Embrace Karen Huger. She is the
embrace
grand dame.
Giselle Bryant. These are queens. Icons, living icons among us who we have the privilege to interact with and who have graced us with their presence. There's no reason for us not to engage with whatever content they put out because it is that powerful and important.
And I feel like we owe it to them. And if you love Housewives, obviously you're listening to this pod because you do. If you love Housewives, I actually sort of feel like you owe it to these women to watch it.
Yeah.
Now, if you watch and you're like, oh, I don't like when this thing happened or I don't like this person. Great. Phenomenal. That's the Housewives experience. You get to watch and you can agree to disagree and whatever else.
Yep. Form your own opinion.
Form your own opinion. If you don't like a season, whatever.
Yeah. But
the most important part of that is you watch first. You just watch first. Everybody's going to take a step forward. Who knows? Maybe Potomac is the vaccine. I didn't say it. Oh, wait, I just did.
Yeah.
Let's just see.
We'll just have to wait and see. The science is still out on that. We just got to wait and see. You never know.
Lydia
don't count it out.
Points. Lydia made some valid points. Yep. Freedom of speech. We are experiencing.
Don't count it out. Go unplug Lydia right now and say, listen, I am sorry.
I am so sorry. Lydia McLaughlin. Oh, my God. Maybe I'm Catholic. Who's to say? Okay. Mariah Smith, we have to talk about your new fucking brand spanking new show on Radio Andy.
Oh, God.
Because I tuned in. I fucking loved it. Can you give the listeners some background on how this came to be, your relationship with your sisters, and the fact that we all get to experience it for an hour each week?
So I used to work on Watch What Happens Live. What I feel like now was many moons ago. I worked on the show, worked for Andy, whom I love, who was the best boss, like hands down, that I've ever had. And a couple of years ago, we started talking with him about doing a new radio show with me and my sisters.
Oh, my God. Did you say a couple of years ago?
Yes. So this was in 2018. And then finally we were able to record a demo in December of 2018. It went well. We wanted to go forward with it, but our schedules didn't allow for us to do it because my one sister had moved to LA sort of part-time, and my other sister had a full-time job. I had a full-time job, so things just didn't quite work out. And then we recently revisited the idea of our show. We all still love the idea. I love working with my sisters. I think it's the best job ever. And we all love pop culture. We love entertainment. We love the Housewives. We love Bravo. We love Andy. It was the perfect fit and the perfect time. So it just happened, and we are so thankful and grateful that people are enjoying it and that people are listening.
And it just premiered, so we're recording this Saturday. It premiered yesterday.
Yes, and it's a live show.
It's a live show. Are you doing call-ins? Like, what are you, or is it the
trio
itself?
We might eventually
itself?
Work in yeah, call-ins, yeah. But since there are three of us and we're quite opinionated, there allows a little time. We did get a call-in from Andy yesterday, so that was fun. So, you know, you never know what you're going to get.
Oh, my God. And it feels like a little bit of a Charlie's Angel situation. In the fact that you're all bringing something really dynamic and really specific. So, like, you can talk about, I mean, you can talk about anything, but, like, you talk about Kardashian stuff. Like, there's conversations about Housewives. There's conversations about Bravo. There's conversations about pop culture in general.
Yeah.
I mean, you're hitting every step of the way. So, I think if someone is, like, a Kardashian super fan, they can listen. If someone is, like, a Bravo super fan, they can listen. Or if you're a sociopath like me and have just like passions all over the place, it is
you
like the mother load.
Yeah.
You can tune in. Oh my
it's
God.
For
Are you
everyone,
freaking out?
For it's generations. For everyone. It's amazing. We love it.
That's awesome. So I have to tell you, I don't listen to housewife stuff because I'm afraid of it like seeping into my brain.
That's I don't listen to Kardashian stuff either. Right. I feel that.
Right. Yeah. Right. But the Kardashian conversation that you were having was so interesting to me. And I wanted to get your thoughts, obviously, because you are the expert on all things keeping up. And it's just been a wild week. Like, we had this scheduled and then Kanye did what Kanye does. What do you think is going to end up happening there?
So I think what's going to happen is that they will, it will end in divorce. That's the the ultimate end game for these two. And I want to make it clear that his mental illness, his bipolar disorder, and his misogyny and his politics and his desire to be president are mutually exclusive. They're separate.
Exactly. Right.
I don't believe that people should conflate those ideals and ideas together, because I think that you have to separate how people say, you know, separate the person from the art, separate the man from the mental illness. All of us are multifaceted, as is Kanye West. And I think that Kim has a deep respect and love and holds him in high regard, deep respect and love for Kanye and holds him in high regard. But I do think that she understands that their marriage has run its course. And this sort of self-isolation and quarantine has highlighted the problems in their marriage that are completely separate from anything that's happened in these past few weeks. But my main prayer is that this does not end with Kanye West winning the presidency and or causing Trump to win the presidency with the write-in votes.
Which is the bigger concern. Right.
Yeah. Which terrifies me to my core, and I can't wrap my little head around it. I just, it makes me feel sick inside.
And there's something to be, I agree with everything that you're saying. There's also something to be said for the fact that a lot of people are sort of blaming Kim for this. And, you know,
which is wild.
Which is wild. You have to understand that this person is accountable and responsible for his own behavior. The one but that I would put on this is when he initially announced that he was running, which I think was on Twitter, she retweeted him with an American flag. And I will never for the rest of my life understand why she did that. She knew it was a joke. She knew it was a problem. She has the second or 10th chapter of her career.
I think against her better judgment, she always wants to stand by her man and support him, which I also, we touched on this on the radio show. When she said her statement about Kanye, she signed it Kim Kardashian West. She will stand by him no matter what. And I think even to the detriment of our society, that is what she will do. And if it seems plausible, she'll be right there with him.
And that's just so crazy to me. But also, I've never been married. And also, I'm not Kim Kardashian. I just don't. It's so much easier for me to say this as an outsider who doesn't understand the pressures of their relationship, celebrity, and the fact that she has four kids with him.
Right.
I would just think, like, Kimberly, like, you're doing all of this stuff with criminal justice reform. Surely you understand what's at stake with over a myriad of topics.
Yeah.
And we're pretending that, like, this is okay. It just, I don't know. That
it doesn't
like,
sit it, right. It doesn't sit right.
It doesn't sit right. And this is a very strange pivot. But there was a moment on New York this week that I wanted to get your thoughts on, just because I'm thinking about criminal justice reform, as I do when I think about Kimberly
as we do.
Kardashian.
Yes.
As we do. What's her middle name? I want to say it's
Noelle.
Noelle, thank you so much.
Yes.
So, you know, just turning a little bit from Kimberly Noelle to the Countess, there was a scene on New York this week that sort of was like the only scene that mattered to me with New York. Ramona had a birthday. God bless. She has 50, 60, or 100 friends. Wonderful. Mazel tov. But Countess Luann, I think by choice, I think because she was trying to get back to her charity work. I don't think it was like mandated by probation or anything else, which she was no longer on, decided to film at the Fortune Society here in New York City. Which is an organization that I believe, I don't know a ton about it. I knew the name of the organization and essentially the mission statement of helping folks transition from being in like the prison pipeline back to society, life, work, helping them with housing, job opportunities. And I think it seems like a way for people to gather and talk about their experiences and essentially heal, because right. these people have been harmed. And so Lou shows up to give attention, which is great. God bless. Wonderful. They're on TV. People know about Fortune Society. Hopefully they got some donations as a result yes. of this. And she listens to folks' experiences, and then she talks about her own. And I just found her narrative to be slightly curious. And I
it
would love
slightly
to hear your thoughts.
Is putting it lightly.
Just lightly. I just – just
The little crocodile tears that eked out of her face, I just – her comparing being in prison or jail for one night mm-hmm. as opposed to people who are in solitary confinement for 30 years
– 30 years.
Is a shocking comparison that only the Countess could come up with. And Sonia mm-hmm. nodding her little head next to her being like, ah, yes, yes, yes. It was devastating in the wrong way.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I felt like, what did I feel like? I felt like she was a white woman in a room of primarily people of color.
Yes.
She's finding herself empathizing with these people's stories. Empathy is yep. great. But the connection of her talking about her narrative and understanding their plight because she's been where they were. I mean, as she herself said, she assaulted a police officer
right.
and was charged with 3 felonies. And
I'm
spent,
sorry, I shouldn't be laughing, but yeah.
No, it's funny. And spent a day in jail, which was the day she was arrested.
Yeah.
She was able to then relapse and escape a significant jail time by checking into Bethany Rehab and like doing whatever yep. else. I look at this woman. I kept waiting. I heard about it before I saw it because I never watched episodes live. I kept waiting for someone to help guide her in her confessionals of addressing literally anything relating
anything
to
else.
Black Lives Matter
yes.
or the privilege yes. that she has as a white woman.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's not even like the
touched
sentence,
upon.
Right. The fact that it's like it became a, oh, I was only there for a day, but I understand like the shackle of it all. To me,
the
I'm
fact
thinking,
that she
like,
mentioned shackles on your yeah. feet, which is also such a symbolism of slavery, is so. I don't want to say psychotic, but I do want to say psychotic.
It's incredibly, at best, it's incredibly disingenuous.
Yeah.
It's incredibly disingenuous. And to think to yourself, you know, I've been where you were. Who knows what these people were charged with? She could have been the most violent among them, considering she herself admitted to assaulting a police
right.
officer when you
right.
talk about offenses. And the fact that as a white woman, you're listening to these people for 30 years, but she survived going to court. She wasn't killed. She is a white woman
yep.
who intended and succeeded in assaulting a police officer. Oh, hey, it's Sprinkle the Puppy.
Yeah.
who was able to arrest her without
incident
murdering her. Yeah.
Yep.
Like it's fascinating to me watching this, which would have been an uncomfortable, strange watch regardless. But as we're talking about in the time of Black Lives Matter, with this enormous resurgence, it's just so fascinating to me that I don't think she totally understands why what
nope.
she was saying was so wild
nope,
to watch.
She doesn't. She doesn't.
Like, there is a piece missing. Like, as Jen Aniston said about Brad Chip, like, there's a sensitivity chip
missing.
That's missing.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
I just... And I wonder who in that I don't know. Maybe she understands it now. Maybe she or her people are watching the reaction to it. I think that a lot of people reacted in the same way that you and I did, which was like, what the fuck?
What's happening? Yeah.
What's happening? And they haven't filmed the reunion yet. My guess is that Andy will in some way address it.
I hope so.
I hope so. And I hope that she kind of gets it. I mean, it's great that this organization was given a significant amount of time on this week's episode. But the flip side of it is, like, just the awkwardness that I felt watching these people watch this woman cry. And I don't have an issue with the tears. I'm just like, you really don't get it. Like, you're in a room, like, talk about being in a room where it happens. Like, you're in a room where these people are really trying to have a reckoning about these deeply harmful experiences that they've had. And we don't know anything about them individually or their cases.
And she thinks a spa day will fix it all.
And then, you know what I was thinking? This is really terrible, and I'm sure I'm wrong. But I was like, oh, my God, I hope that spa day happened. Because a lot of people raised their hands. And she's like, we'll have to do more than one. And the guy in charge was like,
I hope it was filmed. I hope it was filmed. Pray to God it was filmed.
It would be fascinating if it wasn't. Yeah. It would have to have been filmed. Wouldn't it have to have been filmed?
Has to. Has to.
I guess we have that to look forward to. I think this week, it's weird to me. This week was like filled with sort of cringeworthy watches that I wasn't anticipating. Like, really? New York, that was super awkward, but at least it was something to talk about on a season where it's just been like drunken Michigas. And then I watched this season of Beverly Hills.
Ooh, loved it.
Okay, tell me everything. Tell me everything. What was your experience watching it? What do you think? What side are you on? Denise V, everyone else, which is now Denise V, you know, Brandy. What are your thoughts?
Here's the thing. I initially started that I was on the side of Denise. Because I think that the rest of the women are making a big issue out of this. Any woman, any parent would raise issue, no matter who you are, with you talking about threesomes within earshot of their children, I feel. Mm-hmm. Granted, I'm no one's parent.
I just saw Sprinkle.
I know, right? So, yes. That was false. I would never, I have to cover his little ears now. I never talk about threesomes in front of him. But I think that it's a little bit, dare I say, they're thinking that Denise Richards can only have one lane, and that is to be openly sexual, have these sexual conversations, and be this overtly sexualized woman, even in front of her kids, even as a mother. And I think these women know that that is not the case at all. Because, like, if you think about Erica, she's Erica Girardi around her son. She's not Erica Jane. She's not how many fucks do I give. She's not it's expensive to be me around her kid. There are stark differences. So I am Team Denise. But then you drag Brandy into the mix, and I'm Team Brandy, which I never thought I'd say. Yes.
Oh, my God. Yes, I am. Let's unpack that. Let's have a real conversation. This is going to be a Reckoning-style episode. Oh, God. How did that happen?
I feel that what she said, there was no need for her to say any of this. So for her to go on record saying this, the rollaway bed, the details that she provided, tell me that Denise has an ulterior motive that we're not seeing. And I think that that needs to be put on trial.
What do you mean about what kind of trial that would that be?
That she wants to be seen as someone she is not for the cameras, and she's not willing to open up her life in a way that the rest of the women are. Even those who aren't full-time housewives like Brandy, or even friends of like Brandy, who are willing to open up their lives in a way that could draw a certain amount of criticism. I believe Brandy and Denise wants to change her image and have a false image of herself portrayed on the show as opposed to who she is in real life. And I think who she is in real life is great. Have at it. I don't care what you do. But show that rather than you and your husband and your medical
mystery tour.
Yeah, like that is BS to me.
Okay, I hear you, and there are aspects of this that I agree with. I also think if she's trying to hide an aspect of her life, what better franchise to be on than Beverly Hills?
Yes.
Dorit and Money for how many seasons? Erica Jane and her husband, which we still don't get. We've met her son on Instagram.
Can I just say something real quick about Dorit?
Of course.
So I follow an account that has like stories about celebrities that people have encountered celebrities, and someone sent in a DM. Yes. To Love. This account. Did you see that one about
of
Dorit
course I
at
did.
Chanel?
Tell the people.
She was at Chanel and her credit card got denied for $13,000. And this is at the height of the money drama with her and PK. And she had to call PK to try to get money and then ended up having to split the charges on multiple credit cards and pay the balance in cash, which I just, that touched my soul.
Badly do you need that Chanel? Like, it's
how
not even
badly do you
she
need it?
Yeah,
you can just be like, can I put it on layaway? Can I put it on hold? Just something.
Oh my God!
Instead
my,
of going through all that.
My biggest fear, whenever I am out, even for like, even if I know that there's no way this is going to happen, is that my card gets declined.
Me
it's
too.
Just an inner. It's just the inner soulful broke of me.
I was like, at Trader Joe's and I used a expired debit card that kept getting declined because I realized I put it in my wallet instead of my real one, and I was mortified. That was like the first time that's ever happened to me, and I was like, I don't know what to do. This is horrible. At Trader Joe's,
I was on my last day of a trip to Paris, went into like their version of a bodega to get a fucking box of French ass tampons. My card was declined. I had to call Bank of America and they're like, you stupid fucking American. And they kept doing it. And I was like, guys, like, this has to go through. If it doesn't go through, I guess I'm not going home, which isn't necessarily an issue.
Exactly. You should have stayed.
Looking back, I should have stayed. And it turns out they hadn't plugged something in. So it was actually totally fine. And then I just took my fucking French Tampax. And I was like, au revoir.
See ya.
Bonsoir. Okay, wait. Getting back to, yes, and great all things Dorit. And God bless. She's having a fantastic season. I love her this season. She was shady about Kyle and Watch What Happens. I'm extremely down for it. I'm down for PK. Messaged him the other day just to give him props.
It's great.
But getting back to... So the Brandy and Denise of it all. So do you think that they had some sort of sexual experience?
Absolutely.
Totally agree with you. Do you think that Kyle and what's her face? I just literally forgot her name. Teddy Mellencamp. Is it Groundhog's Day? Because I think I see a shadow. Do you think that they knew what Brandy was going to say in that scene before she said it?
No. Do you?
Okay. I don't trust anything that Kim Richards does. So when she walked into that room and she's like, I'm going to dinner with Brandy, I was like, there we go. And the fact that she said Brandy's in the car, you know, should I bring her in? And Brandy was already mic'd and had full TV hair and makeup on. I was
but
like, okay,
here's the thing.
Obviously this was planned. Between the two of them, it was at least planned.
I've seen people who have seen Brandy in the wild who has full TV hair and makeup on. She just is that way. And I also think my sister mentioned this on our radio show, Smith Sisters Live on Sirius
yes!
XM Radio Andy
every
Channel
Friday.
102. Every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Pacific. She said, as I agree, and she said, and I quote, no producer worth their salt would see Brandy on a property and not mic her, even if they didn't think she would go in. So I think if they saw Kim out, Kim knew she'd be on camera. Brandy knew maybe there's a possibility I'll be on camera. They knew, okay, at the very least, we're going to mic her in case she says something shady in the car while Kim's away. And we can use it as a funny tidbit. But I don't think it was as manufactured and planted as people are led to believe.
Okay, I have a couple follow-ups. One, Kim is telling everybody the results of her biopsy? I don't even know what it was. When they were like looking at the breast cancer, the tissue to make sure it didn't have any evidence of cancer, the breast tissue. And everybody's like cheering, and Kyle obviously... is indicating that she already knew.
Right.
Of course. It's her sister.
Right.
She knew before filming.
She knew.
How did Kyle not know that Kim was going to be shooting the TV show that Kim is guesting on for this little appearance and not know that Brandy would be with her? How do you as Kim find out, maybe it was that day, that you are you do not have breast cancer, which is fabulous. You call your sister to tell her,
yeah,
I don't have breast cancer. Fabulous. She confirms, I'm sure, that she's coming over to film, and doesn't also mention that Brandy's going to be in the car.
I feel Kim could easily, that could slip her mind.
Okay. Well, some things do. So I hear you there.
Yeah.
There is, I felt like there was the ability to have this conversation and have a different experience than what I had watching it, because it felt like they were talking about the fact that Denise talks shit about her cast members.
Yeah.
Who doesn't? They all do. If you meet Teddy for an hour, how are you going to go about your life without talking shit for at least a minute?
Right, right.
There was obviously evidence that Denise had took Brandy in her confidences and vice versa. So right. There's that. Do I think that they had some sort of sexual relationship experience, whatever? I absolutely do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. But what took my breath away was the fact that for the first time for me as a viewer who knew about these rumors for many months, Brandy introduced the idea that consent wasn't given. And she repeated it several ways. And the way that she shaped that narrative made me feel very uncomfortable. First off,
yes,
Brandy said that Adrian used a surrogate, and the word surrogate was never on anyone's lips during the entirety of that filming or the reunion. So right. How on earth is it okay for Brandy to introduce the idea that Denise was exhibiting predatory behavior, number one? Number two, there is something that sort of went quasi-viral about, like, a little clip of, like, what Brandy was saying during the episode of, there wasn't a room and, like, there wasn't a rollaway bed, juxtaposed with the episode that she did for her podcast with Denise, where she's talking about where she stayed at this hotel across the way, whatever. So there was that. There is a photo social media thing that has gone, I guess, quasi-viral from one of those Facebook like housewives groups that shows a timestamp of BravoCon, the trip to Italy, and this filming, and it shows Brandy's social media where she's wearing the exact same outfit with the same hair and makeup, and she posted that on her social. Obviously, we didn't know she was, like, filming during that time.
Right.
Or filming the scene during that time, but she's wearing the exact same outfit and hair and makeup and whatever, and that photo was posted in real time the week after Italy. So
okay.
I don't understand what is happening right now. So people are saying maybe this was recorded. Maybe Brandy did tell. Obviously, Brandy told these people because they know now about this experience, situation, whatever that happened, that comes out publicly in Italy. But was that scene that we watched, was that really filmed before Italy, or had she told them off camera, or had she told them in another scene that for whatever reason they weren't able to either artistically, creatively, or legally to show? So they had these people film again.
Those are great questions. I think that Brandy could have posted the selfie. That's neither here nor there for me. That, okay, to me, is someone who had a photo, saved it, posted it later, which many people do. Because even when I follow the Kardashians and track what they do,
right,
they post photos sometimes a month later than when they wore a certain outfit.
Yeah.
So I think that is, we can't put too much weight on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I believe in the timeline of the episode. For something is telling me in my gut that I believe in the timeline of the episode.
Let's play that out. If I believe in the timeline of the episode, how on earth were they able to essentially get away with introducing into a conversation about this, like, quasi-affair? Was it an affair? Did Aaron give whatever the relationship is? Who knows? That there was a question about whether or not Brandy was consenting for this sexual experience, because the way that she was supplying the narrative around this story was not just that there was an affair or not an affair or whatever, right, but the fact that she wasn't comfortable in the moment with what happened. And she's now telling these people and this camera crew about this experience. And it seems like the women are entirely removing that idea because it doesn't help their narrative, right, which is Denise is fake and here's why. I feel like the women are taking pieces of this, which is human nature at the end of the day. If you're trying to like respond to somebody and say they're full of shit and you have parts of it that you think help prove what you're saying, right, God bless. But because this is like such a tricky, uncomfortable story that's being told, the fact that it's now being used as like entertainment makes me genuinely uncomfortable.
That is,
and
true.
That's regardless of whether or not I feel like they hooked up in some way, which I feel like they did. I also have a hard time listening to Brandy say anything because she's so untrustworthy. So I believe her in the sense that they had, that there was some sort of something, but I also think she has a vested interest in being on camera as well. Like, I need a drink of water. I feel really nervous. There were moments of this and the glimmer in Kim's eye where I was like, this doesn't feel real to me. Something about this feels forced. And that could just be Kim and Brandy deciding what it is that they were going to say. Like,
I think that is more plausible.
Yeah.
Because Teddy and Kyle seemed genuinely shook.
Yeah, and I do like watching Kyle be surprised. I really do. There's something about her face in the moment when like, she's like dumbstruck. I love it.
It's
that's
great.
My Halloween costume. It's great. And also Teddy was there. It just
Teddy and Dove.
Teddy and Dove. It just sets up the next couple episodes where this comes out, where Teddy decides to use this. It's like as soon as they land in Italy, for some reason the flight wasn't recorded. They land in Italy. She's saying this shit to Rinna. And then they all essentially decide that this is going to be the weapon that they use. It's just, it feels like, what are we talking about? Are we talking about the fact that Denise is, you feel like this is the biggest example of her being fake? Is it because of her sexuality and specific sexual experiences that understandably she'd want to keep private? Is it because you're pissed because someone is telling you that she was talking shit about you? Which, guys, you're not friends. Like, why is that surprising? Like,
why are you shocked? Yeah.
Why are you shocked? You do the same thing about her in all of these scenes that recorded that she's not present in. So how is this any different? And then it's the aspect of, okay, Brandy wasn't invited to the reunion. Rinna said a lot of stuff publicly about how pissed she was. Andy responded and was essentially like, she wasn't there, but she'll be some part of it in some way.
Yeah.
And I just think, was she not there? And Rinna has said that there were cease and desist letters served or whatever. Who knows if that's true? Because again, trust your source. But I just keep circling back to the idea that, like, if Denise is saying, as she does in clips that we've seen for the rest of the season, like, bravo, 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 I don't want aspects of things shown on camera. If you show this, I won't be participating in the show. I wonder what Denise knew. Denise obviously knows at some point that Brandy is saying that they had a night of whatever.
Right.
Does Denise ever find out? Do we ever see it recorded where Denise finds out that Brandy is also saying that there was a gray area of consent that she is upset about and not happy with?
I feel that that's what she finds out in Italy.
That it's not just that there was a night of passion, but
right,
that there are questions
around just,
it?
That it's just that there's also questions around consent. To me, that would be more of her getting wanting to not be on camera rather than the night that they shared, whatever they did. I feel like that would be the more harmful accusation rather than, oh, I slept with Brandy.
It's so fascinating that Adrian, I mean, Lord knows what bajillion dollar attorney she had backing her.
Yeah.
You couldn't even use the word surrogacy on camera. And Brandy is talking about, obviously, something that people are interested in, this affair, but with other stuff that's incredibly defamatory.
Yep.
genuinely yep. defamatory, and it's being allowed, and people are asking, was this produced in the moment? You know, like, I just don't.
Yeah.
It's wild. And then you have Rinna IRL saying, like, how fucking dare Denise not allow Brandy to talk at the reunion? You know this stuff is happening. You watch these episodes to prepare for the reunion. You saw them in advance before they've been released publicly.
Right.
How do you watch those scenes and not understand someone's reticence to having their accuser be given camera time when they're also saying this isn't just about a potential affair? This is about consent. I mean, I can't yep. keep not, you know, I just have yep. to keep using that word because that's just what I watched the entire time. It
yeah.
just is so wild to me. It makes me frustrated with the other women for not understanding how significant what Brandy said was.
Right, right, right. It's not just the juicy details. It's, oh, there's a larger conversation that is at play.
Right. And if Teddy didn't say that to Rinna, I get yeah. that Rinna wouldn't have known that aspect of it in the moment. But Teddy and Kyle both did. They're responsible for how they represented what Brandy said. But I think everybody is responsible now because you've seen these eps. Like,
right.
You saw them well in advance. You've seen the footage and also because the reunion was filmed so much earlier than it normally is. It's
yeah.
like people wonder if Denise is coming back next season. Why on earth would she?
I still feel like she will.
I would love it. The Washington Post did a feature on her this week.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. I die for Denise. I just feel like, oh my God, you know, how many episodes have been rife with drama around the idea that Denise is trying to gaslight these women and say that she's a better parent because she doesn't want them talking about, like, fucking in front of her kids.
Right.
Meanwhile, you guys are present in these conversations where she's being called a predator. Like, what's worse of the two? Like, you guys have created this thing, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of whether or not it's real. Denise is telling you her intention wasn't that way. And now you guys are, like, very clearly trying
yes. Yes. Yes.
to say some stuff about her that is far, far worse than what you think Denise was doing. And it's obvious what they're doing.
Yes.
I don't know.
It is a tricky situation, and it is messy.
It's messy. It's, like, wild to me. It's
yeah.
actually, it's wild. And then, if we're going to have a full circle conversation about housewives being morons on Instagram, Lisa Rinna yesterday posted a story that said, because she's been making jokes about all this, having, again, I can't say this enough, seeing these episodes where Brandy is talking about a lack of consent, she's posting stories like, you know, Rinna and Rinna's posting these stories of, like, Denise and Brandy should get a spinoff. What should it be called? And then the next story is, like, Scissor Sisters.
She is too high up on this horse of hers and thinks that she is invincible in that because she is a quote unquote ally, that she is somehow in the queer game, and she is not. And she needs to take a step back, take a seat, look herself in the mirror, and realize who she actually is, a straight, cisgendered woman who's making jokes that are so out of pocket and offensive that they have no place in this world.
People responded to her pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Directly. She then made light of that by posting a photo of Scissor Sisters, the group, as well as a Wikipedia of it, which is, like, saying, like, this is what I was saying, but you're making a joke about the experience between two women, and then you're saying it's why are you talking about the band? It's like,
right.
it doesn't make any sense. And then she posted more on top of that, so she'll make these stupid posts, she'll delete one aspect but not the others, and then she'll double down, which is so deeply unfunny to me. It's wild to me. And it feels like a heightened version of, like, the Erica Jane of it all, where you have
yeah.
a good first season, so everyone thinks that you're the queen, and then you decided, like, there's no humor behind this. I am, in fact, the queen. What Rinna is doing is responding to the fact that maybe she won in, like, the Rinna versus LVP of it all, because Lisa's no longer on the Lisa Vanderpump's no longer on the
yeah.
show. but she's taking the fact that people have expressed support or enjoyment of her experience on Beverly Hills, and she's doing the absolute most and has and is making fun of those same fans who supported her, who are saying you've crossed a line. Like, it's she's out of her mind. And it's wild to me the number of people that I know that are supportive of Rinna who didn't say a thing. Like, who didn't say a thing, which is like, then how do you call out other housewives if you're not holding yourself and your friends to account? It's just so interesting to me. It's wild. I wonder if Andy will discuss it. I mean, he's brought up,
I hope.
Obviously, I hope. And I hope that it's like similar to what he said on Atlanta, maybe the worst thing that Kenya's ever done, when Kenya was making these very weird gay shaming jokes about Chris, what the fuck's her name? Husband. Oh my God, I just forgot her name. Housewife. What's her name on the show that's famous? The Facts of Life.
Oh,
what the Kim, fuck's her name? Fields.
Fields.
So when Kenya was saying all this shit about how people call him Chrissy or whatever else, and the women are laughing and they're taking light of it and they're chuckling, and Andy stops at reunion and is essentially like, what you're doing is inappropriate. It's not okay. And the women on stage are so shocked that he really held them accountable and was saying that as a gay man, where it's like, you're making a joke, but you're not in the club. Like, you don't have the permission slip in which to say this. And also, what you're doing is incredibly damaging and harmful to gay people.
Exactly.
And it's just, I could see that reckoning happening with Rinna, except that they had already filmed the reunion, so it's not going to happen in the same way. But I really, I really genuinely hope it happens the next time she's on Watch What Happens, because maybe she'll listen if the fans, if she's not listening to the fans, maybe she'll listen to her boss. And I did get a little satchel of gold about this from Eva in Keene, New Hampshire, who says, the housewives love to treat gay men as accessories and call it allyship, then turn around and treat female queerness as something to be accused of.
Yes.
Which I thought was incredibly powerful and true and real. It's just so, it's crazy to me. It's like, actually, it's just gross.
It is disgusting, and it shows their true colors.
It does. And I also feel like this sets up, I've just been really grossed out by Rinna's behavior and the fact that she's so easily threw in the towel and turned on Denise so quickly. Yeah. And she is seeming to take, she seems to be taking so much joy out of harming her on social media and coming for her in a way that's really nasty and gross.
Yeah.
And it opens up the door to, like, I would love to see a season where people turn on Rinna, where she's really actually the villain, because isn't she seems to be the villain IRL. So why aren't we seeing that on our TV screen? And I think the undoing of Rinna, if they did some sort of cast reshuffle next season, it seems like we're all primed for this to happen. We just need someone to call her out. It could be great. We just need someone to call her out who the women aren't already interested in burying. And I don't know that there's anybody in that cast who's up for it. It hasn't happened yet, but I think she's changed a lot, and that could work to our benefit with some solid conflict mishigas. But it's going to require someone to really, truly
take her to task,
because it's time. Like, it's it is 100% that time,
man.
Wouldn't it be great? I'm here for it.
I would love that. I'd love to see it. I would truly love to see it. It could be as great as LVP, in my opinion, as that takedown.
I think it could be better.
Ooh, yes.
I mean, because Rinna's going to fight back. Rinna's not going to try to pretend to play the victim.
She's not going to stick Harry Hamlin on people. She's going to try to go hard.
She's going to go hard in the way that is sort of necessary. And she's done this to herself. Like, what has she even given us this season?
Yeah.
Her kids? We've already experienced this again. Like, her kids are being so much more emotionally vulnerable than she has maybe ever, except
what
when
do
she's
you
talking
think of,
talked about her like sister stuff. Yeah, yeah.
What do you think of Amelia? Amelia Gray.
Yeah,
saying she was forced to be on the show and then taking that back.
yeah, I think her mom quickly called her. See, her mom does hold somebody accountable when they say something on social media that's being misrepresented.
Yeah.
I think her mom has done a really great job in the last couple seasons of using her kid's story and trauma for storyline.
Yes.
And I'm not necessarily against that if her kids are adults and, you know, there's an 18-year-old on camera talking about her eating disorder or whatever, when you're in a position where you can really make that decision legally for yourself.
Right.
You know, I think Amelia, even if she honestly miscommunicated, who knows, there is something to be said for the fact that these kids, obviously, when you're signing up for this show, you're signing up your family for this show.
Right.
The difference between Rinna's family and a lot of other people's family is that the story, the spotlight has been on her kids, their choices, their health concerns, and whatever else, in a way that Rinna's own personal life has been not. Like, Rinna's experience on these shows has always been, her storyline has always been about, like, reacting to other people, talking about other people, reacting to other people, getting in trouble with other people about things she said about somebody else. We've never gotten an inside look into Harry Hamlin. We've never gotten an inside look into her marriage. She's sort of used her kids as a little bit of a shield. And listen, she's a mother. Having kids is a huge part of her life. And seeing that is fine, but we need to see other aspects of it as well. And when your child is like, I didn't even want to do this, I think what she was probably saying was like, your, you know, commenters are saying, I'm just talking about eating disorder, anxiety stuff for camera time. Little do you know, I like don't even want to be on camera.
Right.
I get what she's saying in the sense of like, I'm trying to use this platform for good. I don't need reality TV in the way that like my mom does or somebody else does. It's not as interesting to me. That's something that I could understand with and empathize with. But I do think that unrelated to what Amelia is talking about, there is a concern that I have about the fact that Rinna seems very, very invested in Denise being quote unquote honest and other people not being truthful. And it's like, sweetie,
she doesn't hold herself to the same standard.
She doesn't hold herself to the same standard. And maybe the next time, instead of dancing in front of your phone, you pick up a mirror instead. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a performance of all of this. Rinna's performing the act of allyship while doing stuff that's incredibly counterproductive to that idea. Rinna talks about honesty and owning it and owning it, and she won't do the bare minimum in her personal life to do the same. It's not great, and maybe that is the undoing storyline narrative that we'll see. There's nobody who's really countering her, which I think is the problem, because she is such an alpha, which is great, and she is so assertive, which is great. The flip side of that is, like, that's the conflict I want to see. That's the tension. It's not when Rinna's refocusing all of the energy against someone else because of stuff that she can't even say, you know, that she's combating in some way. I don't know if that makes any sense.
That
you
does. Know, that does.
It's just, it's sort of like little bit of a fire underneath me of like, oh, that could be a really interesting path to go down. I just don't know. We might not have met the person yet who will hold her to account. We'll challenge her and be a good enough, successful challenger that Rinna won't be able to force the other women to align with her.
Yeah. That'll be great TV.
I'm also curious what the fuck happens on the finale. Brandi keeps referencing the truth will come out on the finale. Then Denise put something up about the truth or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Garcelle put love of my life, put something up
love
about,
her.
You know, when people show you who they are, believe them, which God bless. One of my favorite quotes of all time. I'm just curious, like, what's going to happen in the what is the shocking thing that's going to happen in like the next couple episodes? Because I don't know.
I can't pinpoint it. I have no idea what it could be, but I'm excited to see what it is.
And speaking of that excitement, so what do you think about Garcelle, her time on the show?
I think that she could be better utilized. I feel like she could be better utilized, and that she's trying to give us a little snippet of her life. But I feel like the people are afraid to give too much drama or to involve her in too much drama because she's a black woman, and they don't want to feel like they're attacking a black woman on camera. And I feel like we're not giving her the same due and respect we would a white housewife on a mainly white housewife cast.
Do you think that's something that the cast members are doing or that production is
guiding? I think it's both.
Yeah, interesting. What do you think about the amount of time that she spent with the women versus, I don't know, a Sutton or something? Obviously, Garcelle has so much more going on.
She travels
like
a lot.
Six jobs, right?
Yeah. And I do think, why isn't Sutton a full-time housewife now?
Because her ex-husband decided not to allow her kids to be on camera. And for some godforsaken reason, production decided that that meant that she should be considered a friend of instead of what everyone around her was considering her when she was filming, which was a full-time housewife. It makes actually no sense to me because she's still so involved in plot that it's wild that she's not considered full-time. Yeah, it's wild. It was such a bad move. I think she's great. I'd love to. She doesn't need her kids.
Yeah.
Like, hello, Rinna, wake up. Like, be more like you're the person that you call a friend. Like, Sutton's great. And I don't need to see her parenting in order to, you know, understand that.
But I do think Garcelle is an excellent addition. I think Sutton's an excellent addition, and I'm excited to see how both of them, especially Garcelle, how they grow over the course of a couple of seasons.
Wait a second. Garcelle is obviously Team Denise. Regardless of what happens with Denise coming back next season, why couldn't Garcelle be the one to take on Rinna? Wouldn't that be
great? I feel like she doesn't know enough.
I think she's learning quite a bit right now. I think she's probably seeing Rinna in a light that she hadn't before, and Rinna in a light of what Rinna is willing to do to manipulate story or plot to, like, bury and shame someone.
Yeah.
I think Garcelle could be that person, because my guess is we haven't seen that. She hasn't. The conflict hasn't been shifted around or against her. But my guess is that Garcelle shoots to kill in a way that is much more successful and strong and intelligent than Rinna ever could. Like, Rinna's loud, but she's not necessarily smart. She's not thinking the long-term game. And I think that Garcelle, because she's like, so it's like, because she's so human, she's so obviously empathetic to people. She's funny. She's charming. She's, like, naturally charismatic. She would be able to do it in such a way that I don't think she would lose fan support.
Right.
I think it would just make Rinna look twice as bad.
Which would be great.
Which would be great. Garcelle, if you are listening, I love you.
Do it.
I'm so excited to see Coming to America 2, which, P.S., when is that? Is that happening?
I have no idea.
I have no idea. How many years in the making? 30 years? 20 years? 25 years? 27 years? I don't know. Very into it. She was fantastic casting. Would love to see her even more next season. I don't think she's going anywhere.
I think she's not.
Would love it. Would love. I have loved this, Kiki, with you, Mariah Smith.
Oh, thank you.
Tell the people how to keep up with all things you. And obviously, guys, if you're not listening to the already, I will say, wildly successful new show
Thank
on Radio
you.
Mandy, you need to listen, because holy, the three of you together, it's just honestly sublime. So tell
Thank
the folks
you.
How to get in your grill.
So you can follow me on Twitter at Mariah, M-R-I-A-H. Follow me on Instagram at Mariah, Mariah, Mariah. Or listen to Radio Andy on Sirius XM channel 102 for Smith Sisters Live at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific every Friday.
And you know, Radio Andy has that wonderful little catalog library situation.
Yep.
So if you can't listen live, you can always dip in. You can listen late at night. You could listen to the premiere episode as soon as you are done
listening to
this
podcast.
Very one. Look how that works out.
Look at
God. Look at God. You are such a pleasure. I'm obsessed with you. I'm obsessed with your living room, which I'm staring at. This was so wonderful. I need to have
this
you back
great.
Before the end of Beverly Hills, because I just want us to like revisit. I'm very open to what you've said about Brandy. I hear you. I don't agree with you, but unlike Rinna, I'm like taking in information processing it. And I just think we just need to have like a little update conversation.
We should have a Kiki.
An end of season Kiki. An end of season Kiki. I'm here for it. I'm here for you. Guys, if you're not following me on Instagram, which I know you're not, what are you waiting for? At Dame Gally on IG. Join the Andy's Girls Kiki, the first ever Zoom Andy's Girls Kiki, which is exclusive only to OG of the AG Patreon, Patron, Tequila, Cocktail People, etc., yada, yada, on patreon.com/Andy's Girls, exclusive Zoom opportunity.
Look
with
at
yours
that.
Truly. I will more than likely be wearing the robe that I'm wearing as we record, so you have that $29.95 Target situation to look forward to. This was such a pleasure, such a delight. Obsessed with you. Obsessed with Sprinkle the pup, who I need to see on social more frequently. Thank you so much. Oh, wait. Sprinkle has Sprinkle's own Instagram page. What's Sprinkle's handle?
Yes, it's at Sprinky Pink. You can follow him. He's the mini poodle. He's the cutest little dog in the land, and
you know
he's excited to see you.
I'm excited to see him. I bet he shows more of his life than Rinna shows of hers.
He probably does.
He could maybe take over for her if she runs out of stuff for Amelia to talk about. I look forward to that. Obsessed with you. Can't wait to kiki with you again soon. Die for you and die for all of you. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Sweet God above or below, whatever you believe. Wear a mask, stay safe, social distance, take care of yourselves, aka me. And we'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.